Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
So Luke chapter 8, if you'd stand with me this morning, Luke chapter 8, we're going to read the word together. Luke chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament, 8th chapter, we're going to read the 26th verse this morning. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26, you'll remember that the disciples were out on the sea and there was a storm and Jesus calmed the storm, and this is what happened right afterwards. Same day, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, please, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into the man, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and he left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home. Tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Father, I pray that you'd just be with us in this moment as we break apart this passage. And I pray, Father, that it would speak clearly to each and every one of us this morning. We pray, Father, for your anointing, not only on me as I bring this word forward, Lord, but on our hearts. May we be open to your guidance, to your leading, to your voice, Lord. May we be obedient to you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever had a day where your best laid plans just totally went off the rails? I think, you know, this might be an appropriate sermon this morning for all of us to identify with. Those days are very, very frustrating. We got an agenda, we got a plan. Our best laid plans go off the rails because something unexpected happens. I've had it happen many times. I've been scheduled to be somewhere and I get stuck in traffic. Anybody been there before? Gotta be there, certain times, stuck in traffic. And I think that not only is it interesting to observe how my self reacts to those moments in time, but I think it's interesting to look around in other cars and see how other people react to traffic jams. Some people are hitting their windshield. Some people are drinking their coffee. Some people are clipping their toenails. Some people are picking their noses. Just saying. Those days can be scary. Different people. They're different ways, stuck in traffic. Those days can be very frustrating. I remember, unplanned kind of day several years ago. It was Monday morning, middle of the night, Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day. I had the day off, or so I thought, for a planned holiday. I woke up at 3:00 in the morning with intense pain in my abdomen. And Pastor Vicky took me to the hospital, and I wasn't planning on doing it, but I spent the whole week in the hospital recovering from gallbladder surgery. What I planned to do that day had gone off the rails, 100%. I spent a whole day in the emergency room, and then I got to spend a whole week recovering from pretty significant surgery that was not on my schedule. The disciples in Luke chapter 8 are having one of those days. Because you see, they just thought they were going on a retreat with Jesus. They had just been through the first adventure out on sea. Remember, they were on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and this huge storm blows up and they're freaking out. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. These fishermen experienced, they had to actually get the landlubber in the back of the boat to come and still the storm. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And now as they come to shore, they're thinking, man, what a day. We won't forget this one because, wow, they're just getting over the whole be still thing with the storm. Astonished at all of that. And they're like, let's get off the highway and let's go to McDonald's and get something to eat and fill our bellies and just regroup a little bit, right? And so they get to shore in the boat. And they're all just kind of still shook. And now as they come to shore on the other side of the lake, in verses 26 and 27, this is what they face. Before they ever get to the door of McDonald's, this is what they face. They sail to the region across from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from town. Just got out of the boat, and there's this demon-possessed dude, scary as all get out, confronting them. And sometimes we have days where we think we're escaping across the lake to peace and to quiet, but we wind up being welcomed ashore by demons. Anybody had one of those days before? You get welcomed ashore by demons, you weren't expecting it. And this is probably not what the disciples were anticipating happening. They probably thought, you know, Jesus is kind of a one adventure a day kind of guy, but this is all happening at the same time. Event after event. Plan was probably, hey, let's go take it easy, but not on this adventure-filled education trip. They're on a field trip with Jesus here, folks. Anybody remember the field trips in school? You'd all get on the bus, you'd go somewhere, you'd learn something. They're on a field trip with Jesus. And they're now stepping off the bus and they're confronting this demon. And one of the things that I think is important to remember as we read this passage is that Jesus was with the disciples as they were confronted with this demon. Jesus was with the disciples as they were all confronted by this demon. The disciples are following Jesus. Jesus is the boss. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is leading. And even though they had in mind what they needed to do when they got to shore, Jesus was there. And Jesus was in charge of the situation. Not every day is going to go like we think it's going to go. Okay? Especially when we're following Jesus. Not every day is going to go the way we think it's supposed to go. And when we're living under His authority, I think we should expect the unexpected to happen. How many of you like interruptions? No one. Amazing. None of us like interruptions. But do you know what? In almost every story we read about Jesus in the scripture where he does something amazing, it's an interruption of what was supposed to happen. Go read the scripture that way. Jesus, the authority of Jesus comes to life in the midst of interruption of the best laid plans. We have to become accustomed, church, to interruptions. We have to become accustomed to setting aside what we thought we were supposed to do and realize that Jesus is in charge, and when interruption happens, opportunity may be afoot. Jesus is with them in this situation. Jesus is in charge, and they're living, as they're following Jesus across the lake, they're living under the authority of Jesus so that they don't even have to fear demons. They don't even have to fear. Anybody faced a demon before? Nobody right after your child. Because I think my children, some of the times, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is in this child? Sugar. Sugar. Jesus is in charge so they don't even have to fear demons. In fact, as they're coming off of this one miracle, they're all probably still gobsmacked trying to make sense of what's going on. And they're running into demons now. They're having a challenging day. But in the midst of this interruption, all these interruptions to this field trip that they were thinking they were taking to peace and quiet and rest and retreat with Jesus, They're learning what it's like to live under the authority of Christ when we follow Him and make Him our life's companion. We got to learn to welcome interruption and realize that as those interruptions come, Jesus is with us. And as I think about the disciples this morning, as I contemplate their situation, it makes me want to say, Jesus, please allow me to be more mindful of your presence in my life today. Even when I face demons. Even when I face demons, help me to be mindful. Help me not to be intimidated by the unexpected. Because I'm going with you. I'm going with the authority. I'm going with the one who's in charge. I have nothing to fear. Help me to go with you today. Be ever present in my mind. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Provide for me. Protect me. Teach me. Grow me. Expand my faith in you as we go forward together, even if there's an interruption to my plan. We should welcome interruption as potential opportunity for the kingdom. And for those of you who are very rigid and like schedules, that's going to drive you nuts. But that's part of learning to live under the authority of Jesus, not under our own authority, not under the own authority of our calendar or our to-do list. So the disciples are not having the day that they're expecting. And this man that they met as they came ashore, who's demon-possessed, is probably having a bad day too. If you're demon-possessed, you're not having a good day. As a matter of fact, he might be having a bad year. Or he may be having a bad season in life. We don't know how long this has been going on. We don't know how this man became demon-possessed. I'm sure it wasn't in the expectation that he had in his life. You know, when you're a little kid and they say, what do you want to be? I said, I want to be an astronaut. Nobody stands up and says, I want to be possessed by demons. No one dreams to be tortured by demons. That's not a dream. That's a nightmare. People like to joke about demons and make nice jokes and fun and poke and stuff like that. But demon possession's nothing to mess with. Living hell. Living hell. Was this guy cursed by someone who played in the demonic world? I don't know. We really don't know what's going on. But you can't say he's having a good day because he's possessed by demons. He's naked, living in the graveyard of the town. That's this guy's situation. That's this guy's situation. We don't know how it happened, but this one thing we do know. Somewhere along the way, the door to this man's soul was open or left open to allow the authority of a demon or demons to take control of his life. Don't know how it happened, but I can tell you with certainty that somewhere along the way, his heart was left open to allow that to happen. To allow the authority of the demonic to take possession of him from the inside out. And the result for him was torture and violence and misery. And I think we should take the story seriously. Yeah, it's a story in the Bible, but how can we protect ourselves from the authority of the demonic? What should we be doing? I don't want to become demon-possessed. I don't want any of you to become demon-possessed. Abide in Jesus is the way to do it. The only protection we have to the authority of the demonic is to live under the authority of Jesus in our lives. The only protection we have is to stand under the authority of Christ. You can't just be a fan of Jesus and think you've got this protection. You can't just be a fan. You can't just be one of those people that roots for Jesus when he's winning. You know, there are a lot of people rooting for Jesus when he was winning, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna! But then, in the middle of the week, the tide turned and he started losing, and those same people who were fans on Sunday turned into the crowd that sentenced him to death on Thursday, and they said, crucify him! They were fans on Sunday. They weren't fans on Thursday. They were fair weather fans. A lot of people out there like that. We can't just be fans rooting for Jesus when He is winning. We have to be willing to become radical followers of Christ. Radical! Radical means that the authority of Jesus becomes the root of our soul and our being. Radical means we sell out to Him. We give Him complete authority over our life, over our soul, over our dreams, over our plans. The authority of Jesus is the only thing that can protect us from the demonic. The authority of Jesus is so evident in this story, too. It is overwhelming to the demons that had taken up residence in this man who was having a really bad day, whose life had gone off the rails. These demons can sense Jesus coming from a mile away. That dude, he lived in the cemetery naked. He went all the way from the cemetery down to the shore to meet him when they came off. Those demons knew Jesus was coming. They sensed the authority, those demons sensed the authority of Jesus coming. And His power and authority makes them shake in their boots. I want you to see that today. What can protect us from demonic powers? The authority of Jesus Christ. Friends, demons are real. There's a spiritual warfare that's happening in this world. And I think that people today are more open to demon possession or more vulnerable to demon possession than we may realize. Dabbling in witchcraft, dabbling in spells and magic potions, tarot cards, Ouija boards. More young people today, this is a fact, more young people today are open to witchcraft and magic than any other generation in the past several centuries. Young people today are hungry for spiritual things. Okay? People in general today are hungry for spirituality. The polling out there tells us 87% of people in the United States today consider themselves spiritual. But a lot of those people aren't finding what they need in the church, and so they're turning to Wiccan, witchcraft, all this crazy crystal, New Age kind of stuff that is out there. They describe themselves as spiritual, but they're seeking more from a Christian faith that has left them wanting. And we as a church, we need to stop for a couple of minutes and take evaluation of who we are and what we are and if we're really living into what we say we believe. Because if it's not real, church, they'll know. If it's not authentic, they'll know. If it's not coming from the inside out, the Holy Spirit working a joy in us that we could not find anywhere else, ain't nobody want to get that. Nobody wants to get COVID, nobody wants to get the flu, and nobody wants to catch a case of the hypocrisies. Okay? So if we say who we are and then we go out and live like something else, people are watching. People are watching how we live. And if they don't sense that joy, that authentic peace and power and poise that comes from living under the authority of Christ, they will go break open some other book and try to find it somewhere. They're hungry for spirituality. They're hungry for spiritual things. Will they find what they're craving in the people of Christ? Hugely important question for us to ask this morning. The only hope, the only cure for us is for us to be possessed by something different. Right? You know, we talk about possession. We have to be possessed by something better, something higher that brings out the best of us, not the worst of us. You can't tell me this guy was having the best of himself brought out by this demon possession. The worst of him was coming out. Anger, hatred, bitterness, violence. He didn't care who he hurt or what he did, because he wasn't in control. There was something inside of him that was driving him. The only hope we have is for something different, better, and higher. And I'm talking about the living Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in us, living in our hearts. The living authority of Christ rooted deeply inside each and every one of our hearts, based in an allegiance to Him as our Savior and submitted by our submission to His will, not mine, His will. You know who else is having a bad day in this story? The demons. We talked about the man, we talked about the disciples this morning. I want to talk a little bit about the demons. I think it's interesting, we talked about them a little bit already. The demons know Jesus is coming even before He gets there, because even the demons can see the authority of Jesus coming. And authority, we have to understand something about authority, okay? Authority is simply recognized by, there's a legal term called force majeure, right? It just shows up. It is what it is. You recognize authority when it happens. Tornado whizzes out of the sky. You as a physical being are not going to stop a tornado. It'll probably suck you up and blow you away because force majeure. The physical power of that storm is more powerful physically than you are. Now Jesus could say, be still, because He is the authority. Jesus doesn't show up on the shore. He doesn't demand that they hold a ceremony for His arrival. He doesn't demand that they roll out a red carpet and have the people come and wave branches and cry Hosanna. None of that's happening in this story. None of it is. He just shows up and the demons are there. The demons are there because they recognize His authority. The demons know who He is, and they recognize His authority even as He is walking onto the scene. He's not even there yet, and they know. Sometimes I think demons react with more respect to the authority of Jesus than people who say they're His followers. What a dangerous place to be in. You know, when someone has to show up and declare that they're the boss, they're probably not the boss. Probably not the boss. But when someone shows up and others declare them the boss because their authority is just recognized and respected, that's a demonstration of authority. It's as if the demon-possessed man, it's as if these demons that are in him, as I read this passage and I read their words and I reflect on them, it's as if the demons possessing this man have encountered Jesus somewhere in their past. I don't feel like this is the first time that they've encountered Christ. Somewhere in their path, maybe in the heavenly realms. Somewhere. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? As you look at this, you look at the formality of their declaration and identification of Jesus in this passage in Luke chapter 8. It sounds like something that would be said or cried out in a temple. Or better yet, in a palace throne room. They sound like words that should be in Revelation, where the angels and the seraphs are around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." These demons, as He approaches, they're not cussing Him out. They're not saying, "What do you want?" You know, back in the 70s, it was cool to, if you didn't like the police, you called them pigs. Right? In the industry, pigs are in this story. They didn't call Him names. They didn't throw dirty words or filthy names out at Him. They say, "Jesus, Son of the Most High." Jesus, Son of the Most High. These are words of angels or seraphs. These are the words from the script that will be said in heaven. And there are words combined with the plea, "Don't torture me! Don't torture me!" I really have a feeling that these demons, they were probably part of the crowd that rebelled against God and were cast out of heaven with Lucifer. They're all part of the same group. There was a rebellion. We read about it in the Old Testament. We don't know exactly what happened. But Lucifer rebelled and was cast out of heaven with a third of all the angels and seraphs that were in heaven. "Jesus, Son of the Most High!" I think this is evidence they knew who He was. They'd met before. They were on the throwing out end of the being thrown out. Here we go again. And this "don't torture me" plea indicates the absolute authority of Jesus already that he has over these demons. He doesn't have to prove anything. He doesn't have to prove a thing. He doesn't have to do anything to demonstrate who he is. He doesn't have to show an ID card. "I'm Jesus Christ, Son of God. Code 911-7754. He didn't have to do that. And they already know they've lost. They know as he's coming, it's done. It's done. They know their fate. And as I look at their fate, I think, woe to any of us. Woe to any of us who fall on the wrathful side of the authority of Jesus Christ. We like to talk about the fluff and the good stuff. But woe to anyone who falls on the wrathful side of the authority of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, is holy, but he is also just. He's just. We, even when we're living under the authority of Jesus, we need to respect the authority. We need to have respect for the authority. We must respect and have a healthy fear of the awesome authority of Jesus, just as these demons do. I think sometimes they understand his power better than we do. We can learn something from them. Yes, he loves us and he saves us. And yes, he adopts us into the family. Yes, he's closer than a brother. He comforts us when our days go wrong and off the rails. Yes, he will hug us and mend our wounds with loving tenderness as we live in submission and obedience. But he is wrathful towards those who reject him and his authority, to those who disobey, who live in denial of his authority. He is a loving Savior like a lamb. But he's also a wrathful judge, wrathful like a lion. The lion and the lamb. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, he demands our respect. He demands our respect. He demands the respect of all creation. That is authority. That is authority. So as we close out this morning, I just got a couple things. We'll be done here in just a moment. But impurities can ruin a good thing, right? Impurities can ruin a good thing. I've had many a clothing item that has been ruined by unremovable stains. Get a brand new shirt, sure enough, barbecue all over it, Pat. Throw it out. I'm certain you've all gone through this too, no matter what I try. Soap, I get on the internet, they say, "Try seaweed." I rub seaweed on it, it turned green. Spit on it. Spit will work some of the time. Stains won't come out. The Greek word here for evil that describes the demons essentially means impure. Unclean doesn't do it justice. They're impure demons. And impurity can ruin a whole lot, not just leave a stain. One impurity in a railroad track can make the whole huge locomotive go off the rails. And so it is with this impure spirit in this man. This demon had not left a stain or a mark on this man's life. It was ruining the whole lot through and through and through. The impure nature of the demon was having a cataclysmic effect across this man's entire existence. It's getting all the way into him. He was not having a good day. This is not a good time. He's in agony. This man is not living his best life. Like I said earlier, he's not living his best life because of the impurity caused by this demon. And this particular impurity, by its very nature, runs counter to the pure nature of Jesus. And nothing in this man's life up to this point possessed the authority strong enough to overcome this impurity. That's why he's running around naked in the graveyard, possessed by these demons. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus in this story. In all power and authority, who's the only one strong enough to rid this man of the impurity that had possessed him and ruined his life. As it says up on the screen, I just want to leave you with this thought this morning. Jesus is the never-ending source of purity. Jesus is the cure. The authority of Jesus is the cure. Jesus alone is able to remove not just the stains, but the very essence that is tainting or sucking the life out of us. The holiness of Jesus, when we allow it to come into our hearts and our lives, works as a disinfectant. It kills all of the sin germs that are in there. It's able to cure us of the poison brought about by the impurity of sin. But it's not just a disinfectant. The holiness of Jesus in this situation disinfects and cleans this guy up, but it's also a balm. It's a balm. It's a salve that promotes healing and restoration in this man's life. Jesus is able to cure us of our sin problem, and his authority is so great as the living word that sparked creation, he can create new life in us no matter where we've been. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you're at today. But you're going to be sitting in church for years and deep inside your heart knowing that there's been something gnawing at you that needs to get settled with the Lord. And it doesn't feel like anything's been able to work. I've tried this. I've tried that. I tried seaweed. It just turned me green. I tried everything. Try the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. Often we might think that we are too far gone or not good enough for the authority of Jesus Christ. But remember, Jesus was even able to help this man possessed by not one, but by a legion of demons. His authority is greater. And we, as a people, need to make sure we are living under his authority. Even if we're having a day that goes off the rails, we don't have to worry about it. But part of this process of living under his authority is allowing him to address the demons or the ghosts that haunt us from our past in our lives. We have a choice, church. Shall we be like the man who was freed by the demon? Or shall we be like the townspeople in this story who decide to reject Jesus and go living on without him? Shall we be freed? We'll talk more about the people and the pigs next week as we wrap this up. But if you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad year, if you're having a bad season, I want you to know that the authority of Christ is bigger than anything you're facing and can not only disinfect us, but can heal us and help us and empower us and give us strength and hope and joy as we move forward living under his authority in our lives.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.